this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour. I'm Chris Cordani, your host. You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. I'm behind the microphone for this edition. Follow me on X, Twitter, however you want to call it, Xter, at ChrisCordani1. That's at ChrisCordani1. I'm also on other social media. I'm easy to find. Later on this program, I will have Tiffany Meyer, NTD television journalist, host of China in Focus, anchor and producer of the new and important documentary, Hollywood Takeover. We'll talk about how the CCP has infiltrated our culture and pretty much owns Hollywood. I'll get into that with Tiffany in segment two. A lot of things happening now. That illegal alien TikToker, who the media calls an influencer, is Scott, the guy who screamed and was really, I guess, amped up about squatting and telling other illegals how to squat and steal homes from people, steal buildings from people by just sitting there, getting in there and, well, obviously hoping nobody else would show up, and then taking advantage of such laws. This guy was picked up by ICE. Ha ha, I would have to say that. Hey, he was in Ohio. If he was hiding in California or New York, there's a good chance that nobody would have gotten to him. I did say, however, squatting was already a problem, and it was going to get worse with the Biden illegal immigration post-Title 42 influx. I don't remember if I said it here or when I was producing, while I'm producing Tony Schaefer's The Hard Truth. That's on Saturdays and Sundays here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. The problem was the illegals would figure out the squatters' laws are here, and they were going to find ways to scam and steal property just like regular American squatters. It's like legal property owners have very little rights anymore. It all boils down to leftist Democrat policies. They've been there for a long time. They know that there are big holes in them and things can get a lot worse, but they don't care. They don't care. These are people bent on destroying the country, and not only on the easy-to-see levels, but underneath. We have to look under the surface, and this was a budding problem for a long time. Now we're in deep trouble. We're seeing people kicked out of their homes. We saw, as you know, a woman not a long time ago being thrown in jail because she changed the locks to keep these miscreant types out of there. It's going to be time for some community policing by regular people when it comes to all this very soon. Maybe that will work. But I'm sure the left will find a way to cause trouble for such nice, good Samaritans. Poland now wants to imprison people for hate speech against the Alphabetters. 3 years. The UK's already threatened people over the internet, or over internet wrongthink, I should say. People have, police have knocked on people's doors and gave them a visit for what they may have said on the internet. I'm tired of all of this. Whatever happens to the public square? We don't have people who are able to talk freely anywhere anymore because Big Brother is literally watching you. Ooh, did I say literally? Well, it is true because it's, 1984 is literature. And it is literal. I'm not misusing it like the kids do. And if you think that's bad, Scotland wants to shove you in jail for 7 years, up to 7 years. This is the kind of thing that happens when the mentally weak gain power. They feel the need to take revenge on people they feel intimidate them, or perhaps they hate themselves because they never stood up to their elementary school bullies. So they decide to vote people in or legislate what scares them. These are just words. No one's hitting anybody at this point, unless, of course, you're a female in New York City and you just happen to be walking from place to place innocently. But that's okay with these leftists. It's okay if you victimize people violently or take their homes if you're a nice illegal squatter. But say something that the alphabet people don't like, all of a sudden you're in huge trouble. They want to throw you in jail. These are the kind of people who were told to stay home when they were kids instead of hit the local ball field or playground. by their overbearing helicopter parents. They raised these kids to be overbearing as well, except on the rest of us. Thank you very much. And these schools were didn't help with the grade padding and equal outcome education from the 90s on forward. Invented spelling and dumbed down history made them feel smarter until their first trip to the crying room, when their still watered down college exams frightened them. This is who's choosing leaders. And this is, in some cases, who's leading. You've seen the squad. I mean, they're more outliers than leaders at this point. They had their 15 minutes in the sun. Now they're just a joke. But they're jokes with legislative power. And they're voted in by people who think, hey, these are the kinds of broads or guys who represent us. This is where we get the kind of waste products running the U.S., Canada, and much of Europe. And they push weak policies, pat themselves on the back over it, and censor anyone whose common sense shatters their political, emotionalist, collective worldview. It may seem a half a world away, but this is coming to the U.S. and Canada. It all depends on if the Democrats are allowed to sneak through Supreme Court justice activists over the next few decades, or find ways to legislate this and hold it up somewhere along the line. The First Amendment be damned, according to the left. If they're afraid of it, they're going to legislate against it. We've got to keep the weak out of power sometimes. So I understand we need a lot of points of view to help balance things out, but too many of them have taken over, and they're legislating that way. Speaking of that, Joe Biden deliberately, I'm saying he deliberately made Transgender Visibility Day in Easter Sunday. I understand where the people in the middle of all this are saying, well, hold on a second. This whole Transgender Day thing was going on. It was always March 31st. Yes, we know that. And it's not real. Some activist who actually makes that health commissioner guy look like Miss America. That's a different story for a different day. Proclaims the idea of March 31st being a Transgender Day of Visibility. It wasn't official. It was just something. I mean, they already have a Remembrance Day and an entire month in their honor where we have to celebrate them or pretend to. But Joe Biden, in his infinite wisdom, could have done this, could have virtue signaled this day a couple of years ago or last year. He was already president. He knew, and his cohorts knew about this as well. And if you think that the left is dumb, they're not, okay? They're calculating, they're conniving, and they're clever. I'm not saying they're overly intelligent. I'm just saying they're calculating, they're conniving, and they're clever. I'm sure enough of Biden's handlers knew that Easter Sunday was going to coincide sometime with Transgender Visibility Day. So the idea was, Biden waits till that year, a couple days beforehand, on a Friday, puts out this proclamation saying the high holy day of Easter for that year is going to be the first Transgender Visibility Day. So this 0.001% of the population is going to is going to be able to be honored by the government on pretty much the most important day for all Christians. I believe Biden deliberately wanted to take a swipe at Christians and pander at the same time to kind of rally up his base. Remember, his base is quite upset with him over not openly condemning Israel as many times as they want him to over this Hamas thing. So he has to do something. And I'm tired of that Karine Jean-Pierre lecturing us saying, oh, it's misinformation. Oh, this is all misinformation. When the Democrats say misinformation, it means, oh, you found us out. We're just going to tell you that it's not true anyway. But even if Biden genuinely felt that there needs to be some kind of visibility day for transgenders, not that the month and the other Remembrance Day isn't enough or anything, he could have done this again over the past few years, but didn't. He saw Easter coming up on the calendar, like I said, and that's what he did. It's a deliberate middle finger to Christians across the nation. I might not have gone that far until I found Biden banned the overly religious art on eggs for his Easter egg hunt. Yeah, it was bad enough we had Biden around plenty of kids to sniff while he teaches them the wonders of censorship. And it's also time to end that phrase, we see you. It's kind of an annoying virtue signaling, puke-inducing code for there. Here's another bone. Will you vote for me now? I mean, how many days of visibility do we need in America anyway? Another phrase that needs to go. But before they do, I have a few. For us, celebrating here, who listen to America Out Loud, let's have Free Thinkers Visibility Day. I proclaim April 3rd that. How about that? April 3rd, from now on, I proclaim as Free Thinkers Visibility Day. Let's keep going. Mets fans who still admit it, Visibility Day. I would probably make that in July, because by that time, most of the fair-weather fans have been gone, and the rest of the regular fans are still hiding in the closet. Well, the diehards are out there. We should be visible. How about this one? People who eat onions like apples, Visibility Day. Because, hey, it's not enough to smell them. We need to see them. We need to show them that we see them. Or we can even change the phrase and say, we smell you. And we hear you, too, by the way. How about people who still use MySpace, Visibility Day? If you really want a minority, then let's start there. Poor Tom. Tom wanted to be everybody's friend. He tried hard. People whose parents made them wear suits with shorts up until they were 8 years old, Visibility Day. I guess if you really need a group of truly oppressed people, those are them. But I think they do turn into lefties after a while anyway because of what I said before. How about this one? People who don't feel the need to pierce anything on their bodies in attention-grabbing places, Visibility Day. Since we don't normally see you in favor of the overly pierced types, we see you that day. And my personal favorite, people who can dance if we want to, Visibility Day. A day where we can truly leave your friends behind if, in fact, they don't dance. You know what would be nice? Checking out the America Out Loud shop. That's at AmericaOutLoud.shop for the latest health resources and product innovations that may well enhance your life. And check out what we have. Use the code OUTLOUD to get special discounts for our America Out Loud family. Straight ahead, we're going to look into how the Chinese Communist Party slithered into and grabbed hold of our cultural institutions with NTD's Tiffany Meyer. She's the producer of the new NTD documentary Hollywood Takeover, and she'll be with me, Chris Cordanti, on Unleashed, the Political News Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Well, back on Unleash the Political News Hour here on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Chris Cordani here behind the mic. The Chinese Communist Party has found ways to infiltrate our nation in several ways. You heard about the CCP police, the illegal entry within our southern border. I still don't know why they feel they have to go through the Darien Gap. That's like adding burden to the whole thing. But that, again, that's not on me. That's what they want to do. The Confucius Institute, the land buying, ownership of much of our treasuries, and of course, our culture. We're going to go in depth on the latter. With me now is Tiffany Meyer, journalist, commentator, and host at NTD News. She's the producer of the new NTD original documentary, Hollywood Takeover, China's Control of the Film Industry. Welcome to Unleash, Tiffany.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you here. And we have multi-generational spanning of communist influence in the entertainment industry in America. That is not new. Foreign, mainly Chinese Communist Party influence, has been seeping its way into our culture in recent decades. This has happened while we've been fighting our own culture war, and much of the nation has slept through this until it was too late. It seems like they knew we were ripe for the picking, didn't they?
I think there's there's different ideologies at work here, right? So when Hollywood went over to China, it was after the 2008 Beijing Olympics. The world was starting to notice China as like a player on the stage. It looked like it was the place to be. It was rising, right? And we had our own financial crisis and movies aren't cheap. So Hollywood was like, oh, look at this. We could maybe get into that market. It's untapped potential. But the thing is, the communist ideology is like the opposite of this American freedom, you know, that type of thing. So it's really hard to mix the two. So what we see is you can't get every single movie into China. You have to get past the communist censors. So what do you see happening down the line? Eventually, because of money, studios will start self-censoring. It doesn't need to wait for the communists to come over and be like, hey, no, we don't like that. Change this if you want to get into our market. They were proactively being like, ooh, is this going to trigger the censors? Can we maybe change this to get in there? Right. And so then what happens is like, in that process, we always think of the arts as freedom of expression, freedom of speech, like, yes, hold the government accountable, all of that. That's the opposite of what's happening in communist China, right? And it's like, so then in our documentary, Hollywood Takeover, we explore how since Mao Zedong, since the very beginning of communism, basically, even before he got into power, he was giving these secret speeches and talking about how the arts and the literature have to be revolutionized, basically as tools to serve the party's and the state's goals. So even back then, it was seen basically as a weapon, as a tool. And so you try to pair that with, say, a capitalist mindset of, oh, more engagement is going to make everything better. Didn't turn out that way for the capitalist side. It became less free.
Well, it may be, because if you look at it this way, the capitalist, or I should say the Marxist capitalists in the entertainment industry of the U.S. and Hollywood, they always want more money. They want to take their, they want to just get as much as possible. They find they can make even more in a world market. Add to that, they have allies around the world with the same, let's just say, political ideology who will be glad to have some control and be able to partner with the American money to portray communism as a whole, or Marxism as a whole as well, in a very positive light. Just like what Hollywood's been trying to do, they seeped it in over the last maybe 3-4 generations.
Yeah, I think you do see that aspect as well. I think there's different players, right? Some were just like, ooh, you know, I have a fiduciary duty to my shareholders, my workers, all of that. It's like, what doesn't matter if my one film changes something? Maybe it's not great for the story, but hey, it's going to be great to pay all my people. You have those people who just think that way. You have others who really didn't want to change their story, but again, because the shareholders on top were like, hey, let's make some money here. They're like, okay, I guess we'll change this character. but then you do have other ones, like you're saying, who maybe tie into the whole, the WEF, the World Economic Forum, right? They want that global system of global control. And you want communist China on your side because they already have all the surveillance tools in place. They have the social credit systems, all these different things, total control. If you say something wrong, your score goes down, means you can't get on the fast trains, means you can't go to the good schools in China, you know, all you can't get the good apartments, all of that, right? So that's a great way of control. So you do have those individuals, but I think it's a mixed bag, right? Because it's a big industry. So you have all these different aspects. And then you do have ones who are like, no, I want to tell my stories, lose out on the money, and maybe still am able to tell their stories on a much smaller scale, but you also have that.
Tiffany Meyer is with me. She is a journalist, commentator, and host at NTD News, one of my favorite shows, China in Focus. You have to check that one out. Producer of the new NTD original documentary, Hollywood Takeover, China's Control and the Film Industry. China's personal banes are possibly NTD, those of us who know what the Communist Party is up to. So we have to keep are the public aware. And believe me, if you're listening to this, spread this, share this interview, share this discussion with your friends, and check out this documentary. Let's get into that. The Chinese Communist Party's mindset. Let's go there. China's own history shows, and you did touch on this a little while ago, that the idea was to shift culture, whether by force or manipulation. And this way, what the party wanted to make the public see in a positive light, but they really don't have anything else to look at. They're saying, well, if the people on TV or on or in radio or the musicians seem to be having fun and pushing what the state's doing and are smiling and making all sorts of money, let's all go along with that.
Right. So it's like the Communist Party ultimately fears its own people waking up and realizing that it's illegitimate. So it does everything it can to control its population. So we see the Great Firewall, all these different things, right? But then that wasn't enough. As the markets grew, as the world got more globalized, they were like, wait, we need to control the way the world views us as well. Because ultimately, Communist China wants to be the sole superpower. You can't have two superpowers. That means the U.S. and the free world has to go. But it's hard if you just launch a battle and the other people believe in, you know, their country and what that country stands for. They're going to fight back, no matter if the odds are not in their favor. Right now the odds are already against the communists, but they've been pushing their military might. But if you can start seeping into the culture, demoralizing a population to the point that they don't want to fight back, that's great, because then you can just watch them collapse and then you don't even have to fire a single shot. So that's what we were seeing happen, where it's like, if you can control the culture, then, you know, that starts to push trends, and then that starts to impact politics and policies and all of that. So we're seeing that, right? That's been decades in the making. But we see now with, say, the cancel culture, all these different ideologies that we're seeing in schools, especially people who survived the Cultural Revolution inside China were like, what is happening here? Like, this is what led to that. It's insane to them. They're like, how could this happen here in America? Right. But it's like, that wasn't overnight. That was a gradual process of seeping into all these different places where, yeah, when you go turn on the news, or when you're watching a film, or when you're reading some puff piece somewhere, you're like, oh, you know, Communist China, they don't seem that different from us. You know, they care about their people. They care about this, because that's the narrative that's being told. Meanwhile, what the real Chinese people are enduring is never exposed, right? All of that is under wraps. China says it got rid of poverty, so now the World Bank can't help people in China. Meanwhile, there's a lot of people who can't afford to live, and their houses aren't being built with the real estate crisis, all these different things, right? But that doesn't get out. And then same with, say, human rights. We always talk about, oh, can't do business with Saudi Arabia because human rights abuses. No one talks about that when it comes to China, because the market's too big. They're like, oh, we're not going to talk about the Uyghurs, the House Christians who are persecuted, the Tibetans, or the other groups like the Falun Gong, all of these different ones, right? And it's like, oh, no, we're not going to talk about that. And then if you bring it up with the State Department or whatever, the government's always like, oh, yeah, we always bring it up as, you know, concerns of ours. But the countries are still doing business. So it's like, well, you could send a stronger message if you really care about human rights, right? But it's like, oh, we've basically helped build Communist China into the world's second largest economy, right? The U.S. was the one that really pushed for China to join the World Trade Organization. That was, again, aspirational, hoping that this would help liberalize, make it more democratic. You know, look how great the free markets are. But what has the reality been? The free markets are now less free. And we saw that with Hollywood, too. It's like, ooh, it's going to be aspirational cultural exchange. And then what has been the end result? Well, telling a different kind of story.
That's another thing. I mean, the Chinese Communist Party says it has money. There are times in, let's just say, in times of economic crisis, they, since the party really does control everything, they can just devalue or revalue their currency, which, however way they feel like, just to make themselves look a little better, or to make their markets look better one day, or maybe to look like they have an abundant amount of money the next day. Apparently, our government's been taking a little page out of the devaluing portion of it, but that's a different story for a different day. We're getting into entertainment here. Tiffany, while doing the research for Hollywood Takeover, where did you find that starting point and the game plan where the Chinese Communist Party thought, hey, wait a minute, the Hollywood money wants us. What can we do to bring more of our people in there to tell them, hey, no more Chinese bad guys. Make us always the good guys. And I would like our influence, not only censoring the content in our own country, but around the world.
Yeah, so I think that was a gradual process where in the beginning, you know, following the Beijing Olympics, China was like, their next goal was to create their own Hollywood, some big institution that has power. And so they were working that way. So in the beginning, they were happy with two releases. So there would be a film made for the China market that has maybe a lot more China elements, a lot more scenes in China on screen, a lot more of the Chinese actors, that kind of thing. And then there's a global release. But through time, that wasn't enough, to the point where they're like, wait a minute, we want our version to be the global version. We want what, you know, this message to our own people to be the same message that's broadcast around the world. And then with Hollywood, just because, you know, everyone is always like, oh my gosh, 1.4 billion people. If you just make $1 off of all of them, you're still going to make so much money, right? So it's like you have that mentality where people are like, we just have to get into this market. Doesn't matter what is sacrificed in the process, right? It's like, what does it matter? Again, like my one film, right? But then it's like, that's something when you step back and look at the scale of that, it's like, well, what has been the fallout? So we have Chris Fenton. He's a film executive in our documentary that talks about his own journey, where he really helped open the door between Hollywood and China, beginning with getting music in, as China would just steal music without copyright concerns.
It all started as a nice thing. It all started as a gentle idea where two countries can come together and collaborate. And then...
Yeah, so he was one of those that really, you know, aspirational goals, let's bring the two sides together, you know, all these different things. So he got Looper and Iron Man 3 into China. A lot of changes were made to those films. He talks about them. And then eventually, right down the road, there's several moments. There's one where he's arguing on the phone with probably like Marvel or some film executive, just trying to get something changed to get, you know, the China element. And afterwards, his wife's like, whose side are you on? And he's like, obviously America's, every dollar made there is great for American GDP, blah, blah, blah. Right. So there's a lot of people who are like, wait, what are you doing? Right. And then it wasn't until, I think, 2019, the Del Mori tweet about Hong Kong, because he also talks a lot about the NBA. So that was like a pro-democracy post about Hong Kong. They got shut down, right? The NBA was hit. And he was like, that was his metaphorical punch in the nose, where he was like, wait a minute, you can't even talk about pro-democracy? Like, you know, And then that's when he realized, he was like, wait a minute, what am I doing? He's like, this is not the future I want my children to grow up. And he has two teenagers. So he's like, this is not what? He's like, no, I don't want them to grow up in a cold war, God forbid, a hot war, right? He was like, wait, this is not the end result we were looking for. And he was saying how in this process, Hollywood taught China to fish, as in to make films, and now they can make it better than us, right? So it's not like, if you want to keep all the morals or whatever aside, right, it's like, now you can't even get into the market because they know how to do it better and cheaper, right? At least for their own population. We've seen since the pandemic, actually, the Chinese population prefers to watch their own propaganda films versus the Western blockbusters that do get in. So already having that shift, right? So it's like, no matter what you do, you can't even get into that market really anymore. So it's like, well, what was all the years of placating and kowtowing for, you know, if now the studios are like, wait a minute, that's not the agreement, right?
I would guess, again, sitting where I sit and watching these things happen, commenting on them and doing my own research, I would see that a lot of Hollywood may have been afraid to talk to you while researching this documentary. Talk about how what happened when you try to get information out of some, and what it took to find people within the industry who would actually help you out and give you the information that you'd need for the documentary as a whole.
Oh yeah, that was definitely a struggle. I didn't think it'd be that hard. I was talking to a director I knew, and he was like, you know, no one in the industry is going to talk to you because if they are associated with NTD, they're going to be blacklisted. And I honestly did not realize NTD was that big of a player. Uh-huh. Like, not even just being part of my film, right, which is going against the communists, but just our association as a whole. And I was like, huh. But yeah, so I was able to find people who were in the industry. So like the Sorbos, Kevin and Sam Sorbo, where they personally experienced the shift, right? Because they're Christian. So Kevin always says he was the first one blacklisted because of his faith. He was conservative and he's Christian and he's outspoken. And eventually, you know, his agents and stuff were like, you know, you shouldn't say that. You're not going to get jobs. And he was like, what do you mean? This is America.
Yeah, you'd think they'd be afraid of Hercules too. But
yeah. But yeah, so fortunately, though, you know, change in time, he started, or him and his family started their own studios, obviously not as much money, but they're doing what they want to, and they're still being able to get the message out, that sort of thing. So that was one. We also had Nick Searcy. He's maybe a B-list actor. He's in a ton of films and TV shows and all that. But he had a personal story that I thought was super powerful. I eventually got to him through like various means. And he's like, are you sure you want to talk to me? He's like, well, I do have one story that could help. And it was actually really powerful because it's a example of how this is still playing out. So basically, after the pandemic, he wanted to move into producing his own films. And he was pitching his story around, and it had to do with terrorists coming across the border. And, you know, this meeting was going great, right? The investors, blah, blah, blah. At the very end, they're like, the investors, they're like, hey, so, you know, we get a lot of money out of China. Could you make this, you know, a little more approachable to them and stuff? And he's like, well, you know, how would I do that? And they're like, well, the Chinese really hate the Japanese. This is about terrorists coming across the border. Can you make the terrorists Japanese? And he started laughing because he was like, this is a joke, right?
Well, what, like, is this, 1941, 1937?
No, this is like the pandemic.
I'm joking.
I mean, that's what I'd be thinking. He was like, I can't make them Japanese. Like, what would be their motive of, you know? He was just like, I can't do that.
They want the baseball players back. I mean, that's what the problem is, right? That would be the motive.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so, you know, that was like a concrete example of someone who firsthand experienced that kind of pressure and said no because he wanted to tell the story the way he wanted to tell it and stuff like that, right? So, and then it was... we also had a Roger Simon. He's an Oscar-nominated screenwriter back in the day. And he also lived through, like, the entire shift in that. So, like, people like that who could talk about the changing tide. And then it's actually interesting because after this documentary came out, now I have a lot of people approaching me being like, hey, if you ever want to do a part two.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Maybe. Well,
thanks for nothing. I mean, I wanted to talk to you before this, but how come you couldn't come to me before then? Huh? That's terrible.
This was supposed to release last year, so this has been very much delayed.
I can understand, though, a lot of people don't want to be blackballed even worse than they are. And that's important because people's livelihoods are at stake. And I can see people being afraid.
Yeah, because people saw, like, Richard Gere and stuff, right? Disappeared because talks about the Dalai Lama too friendly.
True. But on the other hand, you have people now, as you said, the Sorbos have started their own production company. There are more, let's say... there are people challenging the norm at this point. We can talk about that straight ahead. I'm Chris Cordani. You're listening to Unleash the Political News Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. I have with me Tiffany Meyer. She is an NTD personality. She is a host. She's a journalist, a commentator, and yes, host of China in Focus. And yes, on a lot of other programs as well. The producer of the documentary, a very important one, Hollywood Takeover, China's Control of the Industry. And if you want to check out some pretty cool stuff, check out AmericaOutloud.news. Get all the articles, podcasts, and pertinent news. Always the uncensored truth from a team of truth seekers who always put God and country first. Chris Cordani here. This is Unleashed. I have Tiffany Meyer straight ahead.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients, Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with Pure Plant Protein. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Chris Cordani here. This is Unleashed, the political news hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. You can find me on X. I like saying that, X. Although I do like Twitter, too. I'll say Xter. How about that? We'll just call it Xter on the program. At Chris Cordani 1, that's at Chris Cordani 1. My guest is Tiffany Meyer. She's a journalist, commentator, and host at NTD News, an outfit that apparently people in Hollywood are afraid of. And that's a good thing. NTD has a new original documentary, of which Tiffany Meyer is the host, Hollywood Takeover, China's Control of the Film Industry. Before we move forward, Tiffany, where can our listeners find you on social media and information about Hollywood Takeover?
Yes. So on Twitter, and I guess if you want more personal content, Instagram, the same title. So just Tiffany Meyer underscore Myers, M-E-I-E-R. There's a lot of different spellings of that. For the documentary, easiest way is just to go to HollywoodTakeover.com. You can find the trailer, watch the first 10 minutes free, find out more ways of watching it, more info about it, testimonials, all that sort of thing. Otherwise, it's been streaming on Epic TV, but it's a little harder to navigate that site. So just go to HollywoodTakeover.com. That's the easiest way.
I imagine it's probably going to be tough to distribute this anyway. And it was tough already and in the future. So yes, you can find it on the Epic TV website. And of course, on the Hollywood Takeover website as well, as where we can see this documentary. Interesting, Tiffany, every suppressive and oppressive movement throughout history, not just the government, but the movement, it needs desperately to always be portrayed in the positive light we discussed in the last segment. You see that here in the U.S. entertainment industry as a whole, without the Jinping posse involved. I like calling it that, the Jinping posse. Does that sound good? Any leftist.
Yeah, coin a new phrase.
I think, use that. I think we should make that a thing. The Jinping posse. And I know that Tigger and Christopher Robin will not be in it, but that's a different story for a different day. And neither will Piglet, by the way. Any leftist, okay, well, here it is. Any leftist cause or political agenda and characters represented in America invariably or are portrayed in a, as a protagonist and always in a positive and sometimes heroic manner. And where conservative characters tend to be the butts of jokes in comedies and marginalized in dramas, save for a few. We have a couple of the outliers. Heck, the alphabet people agenda. This is an example. Went to a tizzy when Netflix labeled the Jeffrey Dahmer movie as LGBTQ, whatever it is, programming, arguing it wasn't politically the right thing as Dahmer is not a positive example. But technically, see where I'm going here. So the same thing is here with China's control. China, especially in the more recent films, has been seen as good guys, but not only good guys. It's almost like China has, the Chinese communism seems to be portrayed as something that we should adopt here in many ways. Am I a little too far on this? Because I see this.
No, you do see, it started way back when too. So in 1997, there were a bunch of films about Tibet. You had 7 years in Tibet, also Kundun, right? And China did not like that because it portrayed the Chinese communists, I guess, takeover, if you want, of Tibet a little too accurately, as in what they did to the Tibetans, right? When they, in the 1950s, took over. And those were banned. But not just that. 7 years in Tibet was made by Sony. And so it wasn't just Sony Studios that was punished. It was Sony proper. So that were just not allowed into China. And that sent a message to, you know, all the studios out there. And also Brad Pitt, who was in that film, was not allowed back into China until 2014. So that sent a message to all the actors, all the studios, just like, hey, if you want to do business with us, you better not cover our sensitive topics. Well, what does that mean, right? You see, you don't know the extent of that, right? Like, who saw that and decided not to say anything? So throughout the years, you've seen changes being made. I guess Red Dawn 2, a huge famous example. Originally, the first one, right, the Soviets taking over America. This second one was supposed to be communist Chinese taking over America. But by this point, this is 2011 was when it was supposed to be released. MGM Studios was like, hold up, wait a minute. China is like now a big player on the world stage, a big economy. We can't cause tensions that way. And so they spent $1 million changing every single insignia, every single thing on screen, so that instead of the Chinese communist flag, it was North Korea that was taking over. They had to reshoot some scenes. And the characters in the film themselves are like, North Korea? You know, like even them are trying to be self-aware, being like, why?
They're an enemy, but they're a non-entity pretty much.
Yeah, so it's like you see that. But here's the thing. Since then, right, so this film was released in 2012. Since then, no major studio has released a film with China as the villain, right? So that's like the extent of it. So it's always the Russians. It's always, you know, Cold War era stories and spies and all that. Right. But thinking about that, right, it's like if you ask someone, like, think about the Cold War, they're going to think about what they see in the films, those spies, you know, blah, blah, blah. But if you ask someone thinking about China, they're like, wait, I don't really have something to draw from. What do you draw from? You draw from entertainment or what you learned in school, you know, as you touched on at the top of the show, Confucius Institutes, right? So everywhere you can draw on an semblance of China, it's already manipulated unless you do your own research and dig around, right? So it's like that, like often people, you just go to the movies to be entertained. You're not really there with your guard up. So then you have subtle changes being made, like the Nine Dash Line, China's claims in the South China Sea, all of these things. And then you just see that and you're like, oh, that seems right. Like they like to wage wars with maps. And then countries are like, hold up, that's our territory, you know? And it's like all these different things. And then you have, say, like World War Z, the zombie movie, where it's like some virus originated in China that was changed, you know, all these different things, right? Where it's just like, no, you can't have that. Yeah, and then it just keeps steamrolling to the point with Top Gun, right? So that was going to be a very expensive movie to make, Top Gun Maverick. And so Tencent, a Chinese tech giant, was actually funding it initially. And then people noticed in 2019 that two patches, the Japanese and Taiwanese flags on his jacket, suddenly looked a little different.
Yes,
and people were like, wait, gone. This is like, yeah. Well, they changed it to random shapes. They were like, what happened to, you know, the most patriotic American film you could think of? And because of international backlash, right, human rights groups in Hong Kong were like, excuse me, what are you doing? Eventually Tencent dropped out pandemic hit, studios had time to change things, patches were put back in, film never went into China, but made over $1 billion without the China market because stuck to a more patriotic story. And so you saw like those types of changes, right? Where it's like, it's in that case, it's like, probably, like, first off, that film was never going to get into the China market because it's too patriotic.
Right.
But even then, right, they were trying to try and appease it as much as possible to make that money, right? But then it's like, following that, following the pandemic, you do see changes where now Chris Fenton talks about there are studios who greenlight films with zero in the box of profits for China, whereas normally you could only get a film greenlit if you're planning on making money in China. So you are seeing that change.
I could see the Marxist types shaking a little bit when it's being realized, hey, independent studios can actually run films and produce them without fear of... actually, they blackballed so many or blacklisted so many actors at this point, you could put together a nice set of movies with these people here that the communists don't seem to like anymore. So that could... look, and as I said, the CCP has already infiltrated this country, not just in Hollywood. The idea is to make it seem like it's not so bad that they have the Confucius Institute here with their influence. They're buying up properties in the Midwest, and of course they have a huge stranglehold on our treasuries. It's almost like the CCP wants to lull people into a fantasy world about what they've been up to.
Yeah, and what's sad is I was speaking with some survivors of the Tiananmen Square massacre in China, right, in 1989, where students, unarmed, literally just standing there calling for democracy. And China's military, right, is called the People's Liberation Army. And that day was the day when these people realized that the People's Army is not for them. It was for the few in power, because what happened was the army was turned against the people. And so you had tanks mowing down students in the middle of the night who were unarmed and just using the machine guns, the tanks themselves. It was a massacre, right? But we don't talk about that. It's hard. We can find images here. If you look in China, you see pictures of a parade or like a picnic instead, because it's very censored in China. But stories like that, right, where it's like everything is always called the people's, it's for the people, but then you realize it's really not. But there's those two versions, right, where it's like if you're visiting, you're a visiting delegation, visiting CEO, whatever, you get presented a picture. Same as whenever the chairmen show up in a town, they get like everyone outside smiling, looking clean, the streets are clean, all of that. We actually saw that in San Francisco when Xi Jinping visited APEC last November, right? Suddenly all the whole...
It's amazing how American business moguls, politicians, and Hollywood types suck up so much to the Chinese communists. It's disgusting from where I'm sitting.
Right, but that's the thing. So it's like you get presented this image, and if you don't do your own research, you're like, look, the Chinese people are having a great time. This, you know, country is for the people, all of these different things. You have a bunch of leaders and business leaders, executives just saying, oh, you know, we should move to the China model. It's like, but we don't learn those real stories, because everything, if you want, is controlled, right? The media, the education system, the entertainment system, all of that. And so it ties back into that whole concept of unrestricted warfare, right? Winning without fighting, where it's like, again, infiltrate a country, demoralize it. People always talk about how communist China is atheist, but actually Marxism, he wasn't just about there is no God. He was about overthrowing God. And so under that system, right, if you have faith, because China's always like, oh, there is faith in China. There's churches and stuff. But if you go to those churches, it's a revised Bible where the stories have been changed. And if you look on the walls, you have Christ or God, whichever church you're in. And then there's Xi Jinping also on the wall, right? So it's like,
isn't that nice?
those are the faith that's pushed. And ultimately, it's a really weird system where the party is what you start to believe in, right? Because you demoralize the people to the point where the party is like, hey, I'm going to save you. And the party is never wrong. It's like, maybe you can say the local government officials are corrupt, or, you know, there's always corruption, but it's never the party at fault, right? So you have that system where you start pushing that, but then it's gotten to it's gotten to the point where it's being pushed around the world as well, right? So you're seeing the attack on faith in all these different places. Why? Because if you have faith, it's not so easy to be coerced. You have your own belief systems. You're going to be able to stand up to things and fight back, which is why, you know, there's that massive persecution campaign against the Falun Gong, the House Christians, the Tibetans, the Uyghurs, because they will stand up to their faith and you can't control them.
There's a reason why every leftist Marxist government, dictatorship, if you will, does its best to outlaw religion. Even in America, it's being done through manipulation. Religion is being minimized. You're being marginalized in favor of do what you want. The state will take care of you, and watch these stupid movies and play video games while you're not looking. We're going to just run your entire life. That's what they're trying to pull on us.
Right, because they learned, like, you know, I'm sure all the Christian stories talk about that. You can hurt or kill someone's body, but the soul lives on. But communist China doesn't just want to destroy your body. They want to destroy your soul so that you have nothing left to fight for or stand up for. And you just follow along. And the best way to do that is through ideology and influencing the culture. And then eventually, you know, people won't stand up and fight. But and it wasn't enough to just control the Chinese population, because again, soul superpower. So now they've pushed that around the world. And we're seeing, right, the army has been struggling in America to hit its recruitment goals, because especially the young people, they don't see this as a country worth fighting or even dying for. And so you are seeing that being pushed, where especially among young people, there's this fascination with socialism, where they're like, oh, it's going to work, you know, the next time you try. Like, it's failed every time in the past, but the next time will be, you know, it will be different here. And then they don't realize, like, why are all these people fleeing to America, right? It's like,
it was always so great. Yeah. You ever notice it's always, well, they never did it right. They never did socialism right. Wait, we'll do it right this. Bernie Sanders will do it right this time. Wait a minute, this guy's not a socialist. He's making millions. I call it the socialism industry, actually, at this point. Here's an idea. It's a fun, because I want to get the I want to get some reactions to Hollywood Takeover before the program ends. We have about a few minutes left. I think what we should do is fight back to let's put our own movie together. Here it goes. Winnie the Pooh, or a guy dressed as Winnie the Pooh, leads an army of his woodland friends and other cartoon bears as they fight off the Chinese Communist Party by parachuting into the country, one by one liberating the detention camps and freeing their many political prisoners, showing people what's really happening. But of course, making sure Winnie the Pooh is doing all the leading and speaking during the whole thing. I'm not sure if we're getting CCP money for that one, but I believe this will be a great movie. And the Jinping posse won't be too happy about it. Might be fun to produce, though. What do you think?
It would definitely be entertaining, but also educational. What's that phrase people use? Edutainment?
Infotainment or something like that.
There we go.
You know what? We can have Tigger bounce on with his tail bounce on Xi's head. That would be really funny. But as the documentary came out, again, Hollywood Takeover is a documentary. Tiffany Meyer is my guest. She produced it. NTD is an NTD original. What were some of the responses you received for Hollywood Takeover when you went to the premiere by those in and outside Hollywood?
I was actually surprised at how overwhelmingly positive it was. Like, obviously, you know, you think you did a good job with something, but these are people from the industry, right? Roger Simon loved it. He's the Oscar-nominated screenwriter. The Sorbos loved it. Chris Fenton absolutely loved it. He's basically the main character in this. All these people who are or were in the industry, right? So they have that standard. We also had people like actresses in the audience who also really liked it and thought it was really well made. And then, of course, the story itself and the message. And then, yeah, now I have people reaching out to me being like, hey, if you ever want to do a part two, I'll have 20 years of stories I can talk to you about. So I'm surprised at how positive it's been. Obviously, you have the people who are like, no, it's the Jews who control it. But anyway,
it's almost like you pick somebody, they control things. The fact is, right now, we're seeing a Marxist controlled Hollywood industry for generations welcoming another very hardline Marxist controlled, or let's say Marxist government to help them. manipulate the public. And that's what's happening right now. And I believe that we as people here who are watching this should make sure we inform this and spread the news about that.
Yeah, actually, one thing really interesting that happened just recently was the three-body problem that came out on Netflix. It's like based on some Chinese sci-fi book, but the beginning talks about and shows the Cultural Revolution, the struggle sessions, where it's like Tsinghua, the main, like their Ivy League university, and the students turn against the teachers who, you know, won't align with the party and such. And it's not as brutal as it actually was, but it's a pretty good depiction of it. And what happened is there are people inside China who, using VPNs, were able to watch it. So it was a trending topic inside China. Obviously, it was taken down immediately. But a few years ago, China had released their own version of it because it's a famous sci-fi book, and they did not include that scene. But apparently the story doesn't make sense if you don't have that scene. So these people inside China watching their own version were always kind of like, wait, something just doesn't really make sense. And so when they were able to use a VPN and watch the Netflix one that just came out, they were like, hold up, now everything makes sense. So it is kind of funny, like, you know, despite all of these years of repression of the Chinese population themselves, it's just so hard to stamp out the soul, right? People's own way of thinking. And it's like, people have thoughts and they have their own ideas. They might not express them under that kind of a system, but they have questions. And so it's really interesting that, you know, even if you grew up in that environment and you watched a movie that was produced for you, you have questions. And then when you are able to jump that VPN and watch a different version that has that missing piece, you're like, ah, yes. Right. Cause it's like inherently people know what a good story is. Like growing up, you're not like, tell me some facts. You're like, tell me a story. Yeah, you can't you know, feed the elements of it.
You can't just feed garbage to us all the time. That's what we have bad sitcoms for. Okay. So you can't just feed us garbage movies all the time.
Yeah. Just talking points.
Right. You got to, the CCP knows and Hollywood knows, you got to weave the talking points in. We just have to be wary of all of them. Tiffany Meyer, thank you very much for being with us here on Unleash the Political News Hour. I'm very happy to have had you on. Once again, the documentary is called Hollywood Takeover, China's Control of the Film Industry. Once again, where can people find the website and find out more about the movie?
I guess best way is just hollywoodtakeover.com. Pretty easy. Everything is there. Lots of info.
That's HollywoodTakeover.com. And for the latest health resources and product innovations that may well enhance your life, check out AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD. Lots of special discounts for you, our America Out Loud family. Tiffany Meyer, again, thank you for being with me here on Unleash the Political News Hour. I'm Chris Cordani. Let's unleash the truth.